going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Adelaide, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Shush, Widdicombe.
There we go. Adelaide, is that where you are, Rob?
No, but I've been there.
You've been there? Okay, congrats.
I've been there already. I've done it already.
Done it already?
Adelaide, they call it Radelaide.
They call it what?
It's a Radelaide.
Radelaide.
Wow. Yeah, they call it Radelaide.
Do you think that's fair, having been there?
I like Adelaide. It gets a bit of stick from Australians because it's quite twee. It's quite a small city. They've got a central business district that comprises of one building.
Yeah, nice.
So it's very centralised.
Yeah.
I'm confused. It's 7 a.m. here.
7 a.m?
Yeah, it's 8 p.m. where you are.
Yeah, and 8 p.m. UK time.
I'm all confused. And
how long have you been up, Rob?
Truthfully? I'd say 7 minutes would be over-exaggerating.
So you thought, I've got to do 7 a.m. What time did you set your alarm clock?
Quarter to seven.
And then you slept through.
And I snoozed.
You snoozed.
I had a little snooze.
Astonishing. 15 minutes from record time. But you know, one of Britain's biggest and most important podcasts, you snoozed.
No, it's not important.
Do you think Alistair Campbell's snoozing, Rob? No, he's too angry.
I don't think he's ever slept. he's never slept. That's why he's so riled.
Anyway,
I hope it sounds all right, because I've fucked up the internet connection. I feel all right, but I don't know if this is boring. I think it is, actually. I logged into my internet in this hotel and just did the normal hotel one, but the quality's not good enough. And so what I've had to do is log on to the conference one on my iPad.
Yeah.
So that's good enough. But I wanted to log into that on my laptop, but I couldn't. I literally cannot get out of this network now. I'm just trapped.
You're logged in forever?
It seems so. I actually went into my keychain, Josh, and deleted some of my saved logins.
I wouldn't even know how to go into my keychain, Rob.
I've been in there, mate, and I felt like I was coding. I was like, wow. I feel like Elon Musk, just like I'm in here, just like changing it up, and I still couldn't do it. So I'm talking to you on my iPad.
What is your keychain? Is that all your passwords?
Yeah. So what I tried to do was go in and delete my hotel one so that I could go back in. You know when you go to a hotel and it comes up with that weird little page where you can put in your hotel room number or conference or pay for premium? I could never get back to that page, Josh. And if I could, I could put in the conference code. If you are staying in the Sofitel when Wentworth in Australia, you can, if you want the conference internet, the password's Sofitel18. You heard it from here.
Here he is. He's like Robin Hood, letting other people, you know, have the wealth because he's been absolutely done by it.
Look, baby, I don't think there should be barriers to surfing the net.
No, of course. You know what I mean? Now, Rob, I am incredibly ill. I thought you'd be pleased to know that.
Oh, is this bad?
Oh, so I've got hand, foot, and mouth, Rob.
Oh, just that fucking hell, Josh. You can't say. I thought you were really ill.
No.
No, you can't say you're incredibly ill and whip out hand, foot, and mouth.
What? All right. I'm unwell. I'm incredibly unwell.
Yes. Thank you. Jesus Christ, mate.
I'm very far under the weather. Shall I say that? Yeah?
You're very far under the weather. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that. So, foot and mouth, that's like little ulcers and. That's a kid's
ulcers
thing, isn't
in
it?
My
kids
mouth. Get that. And so, Rob, last night I got home.
About spotty bum.
10 from the England game. I haven't checked. That's not one of the features, is it, Rob? But I will tell
maybe
you
I've just got spotty arse and it will come at the same time.
I will tell you about one of the symptoms down below if you want to hear. Do you want to hear that?
Go on. So have your kids got this as well or just you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, you've got it off there.
Rose has got it. I've got it. Oh, they've had it, sorry.
God.
They've had it. And now it's our turn.
Well, I was talking to Michael and I didn't know it was hand, foot, and mouth. He just said, Josh is a bit unwell.
Yeah.
Okay, not incredibly ill. And
yeah, sorry.
He said,
sorry,
I think oversold Josh, it. I think Josh has given it to me. And I thought, oh, maybe he's got the flu or something, or a cold, or a bit of COVID. No, you've given a childless man hand, foot, and mouth.
The only childless man in the UK with hand, foot, and mouth. To be honest, if that comes out, he's going to be put on a register. That is so suspicious.
That is the top pedo disease. If you've had that, you're basically a pervert.
But I didn't catch it for those reasons, just to be very clear, just to be total clarity.
Okay.
So last night I went to bed, I was feeling awful and I got in bed, you know when your skin hurts and your skin and every time and you're shivering and every time you move your body into a cold bit of the bed, it's like the worst experience in the world. You know that
and that's
feeling?
Normally nice. I like the cold pillow.
Yeah, but no, you're just huddling in the bit that the body warmth has kept up. And I couldn't get to sleep, Rob, because I was shivering for 90 minutes. I was just lying there shivering.
And then, Josh.
And then I got up. I was like, I'm going to have to put on a full outfit here because it's the only way of warming up.
I thought you slept in a full pyjamas anyway.
No, I don't. I sleep in just a pair of boxers. No, it does. I get too hot. But this time, I put on a t-shirt, a jumper, tracksuit trousers and socks and get back into bed to get to sleep.
T-shirt and a jumper?
Yeah. I was freezing.
Oh, right. So not you had the heat. Did you have the heating on or off? Or just that's because of the fever?
Oh, no, just because of the illness, not because of the house. No, I'm not. Right. I'm not being tight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, okay. All right. I'll get you. I've just looked it up. Mouth ulcers appear.
Yeah, I've got
them. You'll probably notice a rash of small raised red spots on the skin. These develop on the fingers, the backs of palms of the hand and the soles. Oh, the backs of palms of the hand. I mean,
what's the backs of palms? That's the back of the hand, not the backs of the palms.
That's inside.
Anyway,
that's an internal.
My hands are clean as a whistle.
If you say back of palms, I don't think you need to write of the hands. I haven't got any other palms. I've got the sole of my foot. I don't have the palm of my armpit. Have you got any other palms? Or is that just... No.
No.
Anyway.
I mean, I've never had anything wrong with my palms.
And here we go. Occasionally, on the buttocks and groin.
Well, the only problem I've had downstairs, Rob, if you want filling in on that.
I don't want to be filled in with your downstairs.
You don't
want
to be filled in with my downstairs.
Do you know what? For so, being awake 8 minutes, I'll take that. That's not bad, is it?
Because
I'll sip my
you
coffee.
Know what? He's made himself a cup of tea. It's kicking in. Here we go.
I'll batten down the hatches.
So I went for a piss, Rob. I've never had a piss. This is how ill I feel.
How is this my job? You just sort of realise I'm sat at 7 a.m. in Sydney, Australia. This is Lindsay Yu talking about you have a piss. It feels like we're still backstage at the 99 Club.
I don't know if I'd have brought it up backstage at the 99 Club. But I'm willing.
Go on, you've had a piss. Go on, no, have a piss. We're all waiting to hear what happens.
I've never done a piss with less velocity behind it. It was like a tap when the washer's gone. It was unbelievable. It was just dripping out. But it was a full piss. But my body was giving it no help. So it was just dropping out. Like gravity was the only thing helping it.
Oh my God. What, it's those little things in life that you don't realise. It's quite good that you couldn't piss properly, yeah. But like it comes out quickly, and then all of a sudden you're not well, and just it's just like drip, like is it, was it like a sort of a tea, like a towel that's been like, you know, wrung out?
Yeah,
or, it was, you know, just like,
yeah, exactly. Oh. It was just dropping down due to gravity, but the body was giving it no help at all.
How did you feel? I'd feel a bit emasculated.
I felt very emasculated, actually, Rob. I did. I thought, thank God I wasn't at a urinal. But, yeah.
I've always been sort of like low-key quite impressed with the power, the velocity of my piss. It's quite a powerful thing to be able to do, isn't it?
How's this job going that you've got, Rob? Are you a night pisser? I'm not a night pisser yet, and I'm quite proud of that. I reached 39 and I'm not pissing at night.
Do you know what it is? I'm not pissing at night like I need to go. It's more like if I get disturbed and I think, well, I'm up anyway, I might as well have a piss. You know, like if the kids make a noise.
Yeah.
But I've always been a bit of a regular pisser.
A regular pisser as well as a regular pooer?
Well, I piss quite a lot, but I drink quite a lot. But I don't know if that's some sort of health problem. No, but I always have, because when I was on long drives, I always needed to go for a wee and stop. And I remember my mum and dad going, oh, no, all right, again. And I was like, oh, no, I do need to go wee. And then I remember I had a catchphrase of, but I've got a water problem. I don't know what I used to say there. This feels like therapy. Why am I still talking? What the fuck? This is too early. I'm too open, Josh.
Sorry.
I'm like an open book. I feel so vulnerable.
I'll take it back to getting this illness off my kids. It's awful being ill with kids, Rob. It's so difficult.
It's so really difficult.
Hard. It's and normally so hard.
They get better as you get ill. So they're full beans again. And then you're at your worst.
And
so you're working, or are you off work?
I took the day off work. So I haven't worked today to sleep it off. And then I'll be fine tomorrow, I think. But I had to do the school run. Because Rose has got it as well, so it's not like I can go, Rose described me, my approach to illness, Rob, as like looking after the first person who's ever been ill, which I thought was a bit harsh.
Oh, do you know what? There's nothing worse than being ill at the same time as your partner.
Yeah.
Because then it's just like you both get a bit annoyed that no one's looking after each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I think she was a little annoyed that the big wholesome pisser she'd married was now down to a dribble. I think that has probably hit her quite hard. But apart from that,
she's expecting that big powerful guy, Josh Whittaker, and that big young buck that I remember seeing, that bursting on the scene. And all of a sudden now she's got old dribble cum.
She's woken up every morning by the sound of my massive piss, Rob. But now, there's nothing to get her up. There's nothing there.
That was her alarm clock. You was a cockerel in the morning, just that big jet. Like, but now you just. Do you know what? I've always thought about this. Like, because you get older, your body does sort of do things like this. We will eventually. Yeah. The sad thing is, Josh, we will never piss with the same velocity as we have. It will always get weaker as we get older. But. I used to think as well, like old blokes, when they sort of like, you know, when an old bloke sort of finishes, if he's having the sexy time, I sort of like, it must get to a point where like that calms down and it just turns into like a little like, just a little puff of air. You know what I mean? Like, you're 70.
I don't think I can even achieve that today, Rob.
So if you went off and had a wank, you'd finish with a...
But my skin's so painful, Rob. It would be one of the worst experiences of my life. And also, if I get any coldness on my skin. So, I don't want to expose my penis to the cold air, Rob. That's my main issue.
I mean, if you are... This is now, it's quite cautious. But if you are masturbating and your penis is cold, you're doing it wrong. I've never been in that situation. Oh, I'm a bit cold.
Well, that's the problem now, Rob. I mean, I'm in an awful situation. I'm not well.
Oh, Josh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're not well.
It's all right.
And how long do you feel better? Can you take anything, or is it just
paracetamol? Paracetamol is your only hope, really.
Really? Okay.
But I went. We went to. Now I should do a. Shall I do a trigger warning? Is it a trigger warning?
After what we spoke about already. I think it's late. Yeah, I was about bolted,
to,
mate.
Do you know what, Rob? I was about to say, if you're listening with your kids, we're about to talk about Father Christmas. And I know if you're listening with your kids, you need locking up.
if Father Christmas is the last of you are talk. I just don't know. This is obviously an adult podcast. People that listen to their kids, I can't. Well, I think older kids like it, don't they?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's their, it's their choice. I watch Sopranos.
It's all body functions.
I watch Sopranos at 11. Yeah, but you can't just say it's all body functions and talk about wanking, can you? I've just been sick on my wrecked cock. Whoa, baby, it's just body functions. Chill out. My dick's hard and I'm sick. Relax.
Oh God, I'm closer to being sick than having a hard dick. Anyway, sorry. Start my new poem. Now.
Go on. Oh, Lapland. Excited.
I went to Lapland.
Yes. In Ascot. Is it over in Ascot?
No, it's
your first time?
It's in Finland.
Oh,
isn't
sorry.
It,
it's in Finland. Yeah, sorry. Sorry about that. I got confused because it felt a bit like I was going to Ascot, but then when I got transported to Lapland, Finland, I did get transported there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly. So, I would say it was absolutely magical. I'd say.
Oh, it's good.
Luckily, I think my hand, foot, mouth might have been kicking in. Because every
Josh, you can't start wiping that round.
No, I wasn't.
Lapland, he's got a busy schedule.
Do you know why I think I might have been unwell, Rob? Because every time I saw, you know, they've got those little kind of houses in the woods that where the elves live in.
Yeah.
Every time I saw one, I thought I'd love to be asleep in that.
Yeah. I don't
I'd
remember
love to be
wanting
snuggled
to go
up in that with a wood fire, listening to the shipping
snuggly
forecast.
Don't you love? You
I love being
snuggly,
snuggly, Rob. Yeah, I love it, Rob. I absolutely love it. And what that's what I kept thinking.
What's your dream day, Josh? What's your dream day? Say, like, the kids are, like, grown up. Say they're grown up, they're at uni or whatever, right, and you're not working much. What's your dream day? What are you doing? It's winter. It's week 21st of December. Your kids are grown ups. What are you doing?
Josh, 21st of December.
Yeah. It's not really Christmas, but go on.
I'd go out for breakfast. I'd go for a walk.
Yeah.
God, I'm old. Do you want to know how old I am, Rob, just as a digression?
As a digression? As if we haven't already been on it for 20 minutes, how old you are? You're pissing like a broken tap, mate.
Oh, my life.
I lost you. You were just laughing. Sorry if that hurt your skin while you laughed.
Oh, God, my skin, my poor skin. This is how old I am, Rob. When I was lying in bed shivering at midday today... I was just listening to different episodes of a podcast in which Gary Kemp from Spandau Ballet interviews old musicians. And I was thinking, this is the only thing getting me through. That's how old I am.
Who is he talking? Which one's Gary Kemp?
He's talking to Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran, because I'm 50.
I met him at Jonathan Ross. He's a top bloke.
He came across as a very nice bloke.
Do you know, this is how working class I am, Josh. I knew Gary and Martin Kemp.
Yeah.
As the people that played the Cray twins, and then I found out they were in Spandau Ballet.
Of course. Great. I love Gary and Martin Kemp. I love Simon Le Bon. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Right, yeah, so you're going for a walk.
What was I talking about?
Your snuggly day.
Oh, my dream day. But it's difficult because if I'm ill, I can't imagine myself being well. Do you know what I mean?
So That is... Oh, sorry. I mean, if you ever actually got properly ill, you'd be so shit at it.
But conversely, if I'm well, I can't imagine myself being ill.
No, exactly.
I'm quite good at resting up in bed, I think.
Yeah.
Though Rosa disagree.
So yeah,
she's currently making three rice cakes in the my shoulder.
Oh really? What's she putting on the rice cakes?
Well, she's not making rice cakes.
That's too hard of breakfast.
What a fucking life.
How are you choking that down with wholesome mouth?
It's dinner. It's dinner.
Dinner. Oh, God. Yeah, it's nighttime there.
Because she can't have any strong flavours.
Yeah, but surely the texture's too rough.
That is bleak, isn't it? She can't have any... The only thing I've eaten today is gummy bears and cheese on toast, Rob, and a Lucozade.
Can you ask her what you've been like for the listener and me?
Rob wants to know what I've been like. I said that you said I was the first ever person to be ill. What do you think I'm like as an ill person?
I mean, as you would expect, quite pathetic.
Pathetic? In what sense?
Well, when you... when I told you to take some paracetamol, you opened your mouth like you wanted me to give you the paracetamol.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Like a seal with a fish.
Yeah.
Oh, so you opened your mouth.
Oh, and then she put it on the bedside table, and then she went out to get me supplies, and I didn't get around to eating the paracetamol because I was too I'm worried about getting my arms out from under the duvet.
That
and
is
when
pathetic.
She got back. When she got back, I was like, I've got to get this paracetamol down me, otherwise she'll know I've done it. Oh, God.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So, if your children are listening, you know, it's on you now.
Yeah.
So the first thing, they send a letter to your child saying they're invited to Lapland. And it says, like, you've been such a good child that you're helping, you've been asked to help Santa, which was lovely, but caused its own issues. Because my daughter started to wonder why her two best friends hadn't been sent one of these letters.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the... I think we need to change that with kids. It's not that you've been good.
She was like, they're good as well. And I was like, yeah, they're not good enough. I didn't say that.
Nice. Yeah, well, I do think that in general, not just with Lapland, might need to be tweaked a bit for kids. Because if kids can't afford stuff, it shouldn't be good or bad.
Yeah, I tried to edit the letter a bit as I was reading it. Yeah, so there wasn't as much good. But she... And then that also backfired afterwards because I was like, we'll go next year. And she said, what if I don't get a letter next year? And you're like, you will get a letter because I'm on the mailing list, so I'll know when the tickets are released.
Having a kid before they can read is a bit like being a controlling state, you know, like a dictatorship. You sort of like edit stuff like you're in charge of the social media. And I'm like, no, just get rid of that bit. Let's not see that. Edit that out of the TV coverage. That'll be fine. But then they can start to read and then you're screwed.
Oh, I'm worried about it. They are. So it was incredible. It was so Christmassy. I loved it. I wanted to live in the huts, as we've discussed.
Yes, it's
so
cool,
when we were driving to Lapland, we were going down the road to Lapland. And it was a 30-mile road, Rob. And I was going 27. The guy behind me, I was going 27 in a 30. He started flashing his lights, not in an ambulance way, in a dip, you know, when they bring them up from dip. And then he just overtook me and sped away. And I thought, where the hell's he going? And he just went to Lapland. And you're like, who's in that much of a... Literally, we were 50 yards from Lapland. And when I got in the queue to get in the car park, he was the car in front of me. And I was like, what is wrong with this guy? Why is he so desperate to get to Lapland?
Also, so once you get there, you sort of all hang around together in a big group, don't you? It's not like first come, first serve.
Yeah, exactly. There was... I was worried at the start, Rob, because in first room, there was like some entertainment from some elves, and they picked an adult out of the crowd and called him grumpy. And I thought... Oh, and they made him a thing... And I thought, if this happens to me, this is going to be the worst day of my life. I was thinking, this is going to be camera phone hell for me. People watching me being bullied for being grumpy at Lapland. Absolutely. But luckily, I got away with it.
You're not grumpy, though. It's weird. You look like you're grumpy, but actually, you're quite childlike and excited about things.
Yeah, I am.
When you're getting to it.
Totally. I loved it. I absolutely loved it, Rob. It was magical. It was incredible. Bought too many jingles. That was a mistake.
Yeah, you have to keep the magic going, you sort of have to pay
for... So they say buy some jingles, because that's what you spend in Lapland. And then you get into the shop and there's a card machine.
Yes. Yeah. So you could buy jingles.
And I've got 25 jingles here, burning a fucking hole in my pocket.
I think you need to explain what jingles are more. It's more like
they're the currency of Lapland.
Yeah.
And the exchange rate is 1-1, £1 per jingle.
So you can give the kids little jingle coins to go and buy sweets or whatever it is they want to buy. But you're just tapping, are you? Just tapping and go.
Well, I ended up with 11 jingles and I found a jingle when I got home, which was annoying.
Yep.
But Luke, your Luke's wife wants it. Yeah, so...
Pardon? Pardon?
Sorry. You've been away a long time, Rob.
Yeah. I have, actually. I hope she's still there. Oh, God.
She'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, my four-year-old...
That sounded really sinister.
No, my four-year-old said... Because she doesn't really understand time and distance and stuff that much yet. She's only four. She went, Daddy... I was like, and she's still got that tiny little bit of a baby voice, but not.
Yeah.
And she still say like, so it's like still says like raspberry for raspberry and things like that. And it's slowly going, and I'm not dealing with it very well, Josh. If I'm honest with you, it's horrible.
No.
I'm just
oh,
like raspberry. She went, Daddy. I went, yeah. And she said, when are you coming home? I was like, oh my God. I went, oh, God. And at this point, like, so when this goes out, I'm sort of home. I'm sort of home in like a day or two. Almost might be home actually when this goes out. But it was 11 days when she asked me. I was like, oh, it's 11 days, and she went, is that soon? And I was like, oh, relatively. And then she was like, so she went, are you on your way to the airport now? And I was like, no. Awful.
Imagine 2 weeks of school. How quickly does that go? That's what you should have said, Rob.
When you're four, it takes for fucking ages. Ages, 2 weeks at school. Ages. Sorry, I've gone off on a tangent.
I couldn't help thinking of Lapland, the amount of... How many of these people have lied to schools and how many have fessed up?
Well, yes, because... So basically, to go Lapland, it can be quite expensive if you go sort of right by Christmas, but it gets a bit cheaper... If you go like November time, like you did, and it's especially cheaper, obviously during the week in school time before the schools break up. Yeah, so there's definitely a few people. Because your daughter started school. So did you
cleared it with the school? Cleared it up. Cleared it with the school, Rob.
They allowed her to go. Fair enough.
Yeah.
They've got to be flexible. I think in the cost of living crisis as well, they've got to be flexible because it is like massively different in price for holidays
and you're going
as well.
To see Santa. That is a one-off day to go and see Santa. Come on.
Yeah,
let's
exactly.
Have a bit of fun.
In reality, you'll work out reading at some point.
Exactly.
You've only got a finite time.
So that I can keep controlling the message and coming into the house.
Control the message. These sheeple children, the old mainstream mum and dad in the house, churning out the shit those kids need to hear to keep them controlled and penned in. I just realised that I'm in a hotel and there's people next door that can probably hear me shouting.
Oh, that's fine. They'll just think you're some kind of right-wing shock jock.
Some sort of right-wing podcaster, and they'll be right.
She went back into school today.
Oh, right.
Told her friends that she met Santa. One of them said she was lying.
Oh, okay. Who's this bitch?
The other said, no, she's telling the truth.
Right, okay, that's good to have a bit of balance.
Yeah, but you're like, I think, because of older siblings, isn't it? Older siblings is, if you're a five-year-old and you've got older siblings, they're going to know.
Well, we talk about this on Fridays. It's quite a Santa-heavy week this week, but we talk about this on Friday as well in quite a lot of detail, which will be interesting to hear people's reactions about that, because it is a hard one, isn't it, when you've got older siblings, and then if there's kids in that school, it's a minefield, isn't it? But luckily, it's sort of...
Yeah.
By the time it comes round and all the questions come up, we're back in Jan. The heat's off.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It's like like when a prime minister's in trouble and it all starts boiling up, but all of a sudden something turns up that you can just switch
it.
You know.
Yeah.
But it was that's why they tried. You know, the war in Ukraine, cost of living crisis.
January is the war in Ukraine.
War in Ukraine for Father Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a political distraction.
My daughter went skating for the first time.
Oh yeah.
She did. It's a weird one, Rob. So one of her character traits. Is she's incredibly determined, right?
Okay.
Which is good and bad, depending on the situation.
Right.
It's good if she's doing homework because she just finishes it. She's like, I'm doing this to the end.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
If she's ice skating and she can't get the hang of it, and you're thinking, I've only got an hour and a half here and I want to go and spend some jingles, and she's saying, I'm going to do a third lap with a penguin.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to flip out. That is a bad situation. She was basically pushing a penguin around an ice rink for half an hour, looking furious that she couldn't get the hang of it.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Wouldn't let Rose push the penguin with her to give her any momentum. She was just... You know, have you been in a gym and seen... You know when they have that sledge that people push in a gym?
Yeah.
It was like watching that for half an hour on the ice, just her pushing this fucking penguin at 1 mile an hour around in a circle.
Did she manage it?
Well, she got round, but just by time more than anything. she was just, you know, like when you're walking through water, like that speed, that kind of, when you're wading through a swimming pool.
You're in the Maldives on honeymoon and you're just walking through, soaking it up at that slow, fingers in the water, slowly wading through the water, and she's doing that on the ice rink.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't feel like that.
Me and Romesh are doing an ice skating special for
How's that going?
Christmas. Genuinely, I've never seen anyone so bad at ice skating in my life.
And it's
got, yeah, and or it got you to the point. No, I'm a deeply average, functional human that can stand up on it and move about and occasionally.
You know Jane Torville.
Yeah, no, not personally. I've not been to the Snowman
premiere.
No, I said
you know Jane Torville. I didn't say Jane Torville.
Do I? No, I don't know her. But no, I'm no.
You must have met Christopher Dean, haven't you?
Never met the man. Do you know what? I've not really been on that ice skating celeb vibe, really. I've never really crossed paths with them.
You haven't met Tonya Harding? Sorry,
no. Let's not get bogged down in mid-80s ice skating turmoil.
No, exactly.
But yeah, I'm not a big fan of ice skating, though. It's a lot of hassle for not a lot of fun, and it's hard work, and it's slippy, and it's not. Yeah. I think it's quite a nice day. If you're like in your mid-20s and you go mulled wine and you go ice skating, and you go around a bit and go, should we go for a mulled wine instead or whatever? But children, I don't think it's a fun thing. Do you?
Yeah. I remember just before coming out of a relationship in my mid-20s, Rob, going ice skating to try and...
put the passion back in.
Kickstart what was a dying embers of a relationship. We went ice skating. I was bad, but I thought we were having a great time because she was teaching me to ice skate. And then when we were having our breakup chat, I was like, "But we had so much fun ice skating." And she said, "It was awful. I didn't get to do any ice skating because I was just going around the side of the ice skating rink with you, trying to keep you going."
Well, that's very much what Rose is going through at the moment, as you sat there, mouth opened like a Pez dispenser, wanting a little paracetamol popped in your mouth like an ill dog.
What a life. What a life.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
So
back in the day, I was 25.
About you breaking up with someone.
I could piss at top speed at that in those days. Oh. I'll tell you that for free.
I'll tell you what, she didn't know what she left, that girl. You had big, powerful piss. Look at you now. Dribbling your way to bed in your jumper.
comfortable trousers.
How was the Father Christmas bit at the end? Because
bumped into another comedian.
Oh, yeah?
And bumped into him when neither of us... He said where he was, so I went to see him, and I was like, I just popped over to see him because it was more effort to get all the family across.
Yeah.
His family were in the sweet shop, and so it was quite weird because it was just two men in their late 30s, early 40s meeting in Lapland with no children. It must have looked quite an odd kind of...
Yes, it wasn't like... James Gill, wasn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, James
Gill,
he's
a good guy. His kids and your kids were elsewhere, so it was just two men in the corner of Lapland chatting.
Outside Pumpernickel's Cafe. Just chewing the fat.
Do you know what? I'd be interested to know if I bought one ticket as a one adult man ticket and just went there in a Mac and sunglasses. Yeah. Didn't do anything wrong. Just followed the groups round, enjoyed the experience, sat on Santa's knee and told him what I wanted. Would that work? Would that be allowed?
Would you get to make the gingerbread? Would you be allowed to make the... Because only the little people are allowed to make the gingerbread.
I've
That's
paid
what they
my
call
ticket,
them.
Mate. I've paid my ticket. I'll make as much gingerbread as I want.
I'm going to stuff a snow leopard. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just enjoy Christmas. There isn't an age limit on Christmas, okay? I'm just a 45-year-old single man in here alone making some gingerbread, okay? So don't you judge me.
And then it all finished with Father... Oh, you go past the reindeer.
Yes.
Where Rudolph is asleep. So,
yeah.
And you can hear him snoring and see his nose glowing.
Yes.
My daughter was disappointed. Obviously, I think that's a very good way of doing it. I was quite impressed that they'd done that.
Yeah.
But I do worry that next year, when the same situation is presented to her, she's going to get annoyed that Rudolph's not really bringing it.
Yeah, I do think that it's like, it's difficult though, because the other option is, and I've seen it before at places that I'd say are a little bit more shoddy and not as well done.
Paint the reindeer's nose.
Yeah, and you're just like that, or they literally just stuff a red ball on their head with a bit of elastic. You're like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
That's just
not good. I thought it was a very good way of doing it.
Yeah, so it feels like, oh, that's magic. And no, everything's done really well there, to be fair. But
Oh,
go on.
And that's the main thing on the quality. The Father Christmas was fucking out of this world.
It was
incredible.
It's like Pacino. I told you last time.
Do you know what? He was so good. You know when you see someone who's really good at something and it makes you think, maybe I want to do that with my life because this is brilliant. It made me go, am I going to become a Father Christmas in my 60s? Because this guy is fucking incredible.
Yeah, but I think what you see, it'd be fun to do, but like...
I bought it.
You bought it, yeah.
His house was warm. It was nice. He gave them all the information. It was cozy. It was great. It was magical. It was incredible.
Oh, brilliant. Well, I'm glad you had a good time, especially... Well, I'm excited for you now, Josh, because your youngest is getting a bit older. You can start to do stuff that's a bit more manageable.
Yeah.
Where before it's...
She's going to her first panto on Sunday.
You're buzzing, aren't you? You're loving life. Look at these. All these little activities. You're driving your car. You're going panto. You go... Josh, Victoria Park's going to be a place of the past for you. I can sense it.
Well, she's going to Hackney Empire. That's a 10-minute walk from our house.
That's okay.
But we won't focus on
that. That's nice.
That's all right.
That's great. That's good.
Yeah.
Sure, it might be, but, as long as she doesn't buy any crack on the way with her jingles, it'll be a lovely little walk.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads.
And remember to speak in a chill tone.
Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Who's in the panto at Hackney?
It's not star cast. It's like a kind of, they sell it on, this is a really good panto.
Right. I like that because sometimes you can get a TV celeb that sold it on that maybe is phoning it in slightly.
It's not gonna be of any use to her if Sue Pollard's in it. She's not gonna care.
It's good for the parents, isn't it?
Oh, I'd love to see Sue Pollard live. Don't get me wrong.
She's a right love. I've interviewed her on Radio 2. She's bonkers. She's amazing.
I beat her on Pointless, mate. I've never seen someone misunderstand the rules of Pointless so much. It was absolutely unbearable. She was a lovely woman, though.
No, I was going to say, we've got Anton de Beck in Bromley at our one, which I think is pretty good. It's got... what's that? I think, can people message in... Just message in your location and the celeb, the niche of the better. Yeah. So, Pontefract, Howard from the Halifax adverts.
You'd hope he'd be Halifax, wouldn't you? It's a lovely theatre, Halifax, as well.
That's what you want. Well, the thing is, though, it's difficult, though, because sometimes some people, like Anton de Beck doesn't live far from Bromley. He can commute. But some people literally end up staying in Stoke. Joe Swash stayed up in Stoke for 4 weeks when he did it.
Oh, my word. Yeah, I remember seeing Gok Wan listed for the Plymouth one when I went down one Christmas. And I was thinking, that is Gok Wan... is either doing a very big journey on Christmas Eve and Boxing Day, or he's having a really lonely Christmas Day.
Well, that's what I think, and I always think because that's the thing, isn't it? The ones further away, I think they pay a bit more money. Jonathan Wilkes is doing Stoke, but he lives there, doesn't he? He's Robbie Williams.
Is he Robbie Williams' mate? Yeah.
Yeah. This is a fun game. This. Give me a city. Come on.
I'd love to know Plymouth.
Plymouth. Here we go. Plymouth, panto. Would you do panto?
I don't like the idea of working a lot around Christmas.
Who we got here? No, I agree, but Shane Ritchie in Plymouth.
I think it would be fun. Oh, that's a big... That is a big sign. Is that Plymouth Theatre Royal?
Yes. That's a big name, isn't it?
That is a great
sign. He'd be great. I'd love to see Shane Ritchie.
I saw Russ Abbott in the Plymouth panto, and he absolutely destroyed it.
I can't remember who
I did a bit, but... where he spoke really fast for a long time and I lost my mind.
It's just because he spoke fast.
Because you know when someone just, he just did this kind of thing where he spoke really fast for ages. And I was like, this is entertainment. At that moment, I went, I want to do this for a living.
Oh, Mark Little is Mark, Mark?
Joe Mangle.
Yeah. Jack of the Beanstalk, Middlesbrough.
Lovely. What about Torquay?
Oh, here we go. This is fun, isn't it? Oh, you could, I could make these up.
I'm loving it.
You could, I could make them up and you'd go, yeah, that sounds about right. There we go.
You would never, ever, and I mean no disrespect,
yeah.
You would never, ever have thought of Mark Little. I'd be given you 30 years.
Beppe DiMarco, Plymouth.
DiMarco.
You just make them up. Gary Lucy. Torquay. I don't think Torquay's got one, but I do like the ones where I also like supporting ones when they're like just a really good, well done panto, like you're doing at Hackney, because that's good as well, because then they're really well acted. No, I'm not saying Mark Little's not bringing it. Do you know what I mean? Or Shane Ritchie, no. He's going to deliver. But it's a very much a different type of panto sometimes when it's... When Anton, yeah. Can you imagine the rush when Anton de Beck bowls out of the Bromley Churchill and the kids see him and he does a bit of Strictly?
He dances on.
Oh, of course. If he ain't dancing, I'll be livid. Well, that was funny. It was talking to Brian Connolly when he was trying to cast Cinderella, where he was like, because he plays Buttons, doesn't he? Is it Buttons he plays? And he says, when I try and cast anyone, I don't want anyone too young because it looks like I'm a dirty old man. But if I get anyone too old, and then the kids don't think it's the princess. Just, I can't wait. Cause to see Brian Connolly at 83 playing Buttons. Absolutely smashing it with this confused-looking 38-year-old princess. Anna and Nicole Smith. Live. Oh, dear, we've really gone on a tangent. One more theatre. Let's find out. What do you reckon? Carlisle. I don't know if Carlisle's going to do panto. Carlisle panto.
The Sands Centre. Surely that hasn't got a panto.
Oh,
in the Sands,
this is a great
Centre.
One. It is. They've got one. The Sands Centre. I did that the other week. The Sands Centre. It's sort of like a sports hall place, isn't it? It is only.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Here we go. Let me. What's his name? Oh, it's the thingy guy. Playing Aladdin. It's Marcus Collins from X Factor. That's a great one.
Oh,
Marcus
nice.
Collins.
Nice.
I always thought he was great, you know. I was surprised he didn't do an Ollie Murs, Marcus Collins.
Shall we do some correspondence?
Yeah, I've got one here.
Rob.
Yeah.
If we did a slightly shorter episode because my skin hurts, would people be angry?
I think you should fucking shut your mouth, have your paracetamol and do your job and stop whinging, you fucking snowflake. Doing your job. I'm not expecting you to go panel beating, mate, or hod carrying. You've got to sit down as I read an amusing story to you. So how about you just shut the fuck up and deal with yourself, yeah? Is that
good
okay?
Point.
Is that all right? Have I gone Piers Morgan?
Is that a no? Is that a no?
Here, let me read this to you. Here we go. You'll be all right, mate. You'll survive. To be fair, it is night time. I'm just waking up. I'm raring to go. Let's do another episode.
Yeah.
I'm fucking pumped now. Morning, Josh and Rob. I just wanted to tell you something that happened to me a few years ago when my little girl Bella was about 2. I was taking her to Spain to visit her nanny and granddad. Just me and her, so I was prepared with lots of snacks, books, toys, etc. I laugh at this now, as all I needed was my phone to entertain her. Anyway, she was sat in the seat next to me whilst waiting for everyone to finish boarding. So I gave my phone, and she was just looking through photos. I turned away to put my bag above, and when I looked down, she has managed to open my WhatsApp and has obviously just pressed random buttons, but autocorrect had changed these random letters to the word hijack.
What? No.
I mean,
no.
All of the bloody words
in
the world.
If you wrote that in a sitcom, people go, you can't, that's just not going to happen. That's too astonishing. Incredible.
And we were sat on the plane. She had then sent this message to a friend from work who I knew was flying that day, and then panicking was trying to call me. So a friend, this must be bollocks. She tried to call me. I grabbed the phone in a panic, typed we were fine, and quickly turned my phone off in case MR5 were on to us. Mad that it does sound like bollocks, doesn't it? But that's the beauty of real life,
that
baby.
That is so funny. That is great. Well, you know, it's going to happen. That is incredible. Love it.
Right. I've got this story as well, a boomer story, but I think this story should be named My Granddad's a Prick.
Okay. Boomer stories are swiftly becoming
more
brutal.
I'm finding it quite troubling.
It used to be like he put loads of Marmite on my toast, but now it's like he left me... in a field overnight with some wolves.
I've not seen my dad for 20 years and he walked past me yesterday and spat in my face. Oh, classic boomer. Okay, hey you two sexy relatable guys, thought you'd like my boomer story. When I was 4 years old and was about to turn five, my grandpa started to tell me he was saving up hard for my birthday present. Every time I went to see him, he'd tell me he'd been saving more and more. Obviously, when my birthday arrived, I was so excited to see what he'd got me. On the big day, he presented me with an empty box. I looked at it and did not understand. He told me been saving up holes from polo mints and holes from donuts for ages and put them in the box.
Oh, my God.
I was gutted. I'd been given a box of holes. A big fat nothing. It took me a long time to recover from that. He thought it was hysterical. And every year, he asked me if I wanted the same again. Thanks, Angela. Oh. Can I get something off my chest, Josh? I hate people with shit banter. It's people that think they're funny with a shit. I've started calling people out on it now. And just, you know, because what happens is people do shit jokes like that and it's too awkward to go, that is shit and you're an idiot. You have to go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you like? What are you like? If anyone has ever said to you, what are you like? The answer is you're a prick. And they don't like what you've done, but that's the British response. Oh, God, what's he like? And then he's like, yeah, then I gave him this big box full of holes. Fuck off. Not what you like. Just don't. If you're not funny, that's fine. Just don't try to be. I cannot do sexy, and I don't even try. I'm just a bloke who's quite endearing, and that's how I get by. I've not got it in my locker. Some people are not funny, and if you're not, just back out of it and just leave it to other people.
I wondered where you were going with that. I didn't understand why you'd suddenly gone into the sexy riff. Well, Beckett had short-circuited and gone onto a completely different topic, but now I understand.
But being funny, it's like that. Some people are just sexy. David Beckham is just sexy. He's a sexy bloke. There's nothing you can do about it. It's the way he is. Josh, you're a funny little fella. You've got your silly little face. You're really pathetic when you're real. You've got your floppy hair, and you get all confused and stressed about things. You're a funny guy. Do I want to fuck you? No, I don't, Josh. But that's not your fault.
Thanks.
What? It's not your fault. What?
What?
I just get really annoyed by parents that because
even
they've got...
Even when you heard about my penis today.
I don't know, actually. Makes me feel quite powerful. I think that'd be quite good seeing your pathetic little dribbly dick.
Oh.
Sorry, I've gone weird. Yeah. I need to go home. I need to go to the UK again.
Yeah.
I've been here too long.
Do you want to know an inappropriate joke I made to Rose?
Yeah, go on.
We were changing our son, who's 18 months old.
Pardon?
She took his nappy off.
Oh, nappy.
Changing off.
I thought you was swapping him out for someone else.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the headline news. I thought I'd leave it to the after we talked about who's on Panto in Middlesbrough. Anyway, a couple of hours ago, we were changing his nappy. I was keeping her company while she was changing his nappy.
Keeping her company? And,
well, I was like, you know, we like to get to hang out together.
Okay. Fair enough.
What? The spark's still there, Rob.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, hey, I'm thinking about changing his nappy later. Do you want to come with? Maybe get a glass of wine on the go.
So she was changing his nappy. She took his nappy off.
Yeah.
And I looked at his tiny penis and I said, that's what my penis looks like today. And she didn't laugh. Hello?
The didn't laugh is so telling, isn't it? If anyone says out loud that my penis looks like that, whatever they're talking about, it could be something massive, could be something small, could be inanimate, could be like a bottle of water or something, that you're sort of, it's sort of like quite funny. But the no laugh is such a married, both ill thing, isn't it? Oh, they pissed. The velocity of a child's piss is unbelievable, isn't it?
I'm so jealous.
You'll be all right. Well, Josh, look, we're going to wrap this up here, but fingers crossed you start getting that power back in the
knob. Back in the bladder.
Yeah, we're rooting for you. Every time I have a piss now, I'll be thinking of you.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm already imagining the people that I know listen to this podcast who have spent the whole time having to imagine my penis at its worst.
Can I say, I literally couldn't be imagining a smaller penis at this point.
I don't have to imagine, mate.
It's just nothing.
It couldn't be further from its prime today.
It looks like a skin tag. in my mind. You know them little skin tags, them sort of weird sort of fleshy bits that like just are sort of there and they get caught on your t-shirt sometimes. That's what I'm imagining on your groin.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's not ideal. But I'll fill you in next Tuesday on how it's doing.
It's making me happy though. Imagining it. Just
that's
seeing
what this
you stood there
about.
In front of a urinal, just holding your little. Sorry. Okay. I've gone weird. Right, Josh. Small business shout out.
Small business shout out.
So we've got this penis that's trying to wee in East London. Right, small business shout out, and then we'll let you get back to being ill.
Okay.
But well done, mate, for not well, and also well done to Michael for putting a shift
in. Well, the thing is, when you're not well, you do think this is going to be a good episode because people love me suffering. Normally the hungover ones are fun, but I haven't drunk in quite a while now, Rob, so this is
I've not been
the best
drinking that much. I think my tour manager's a bit disappointed.
Yeah, that's bad. His main knowledge of you is the Euros, and you turn up and you're like, anyway, one beer in bed.
Yeah, do you want to get up for a walk 9 a.m. tomorrow? Have a little look about. Yeah, okay. Right, let's have a look at this small business shout out. Here we go. I've got one here. Hi guys, love the podcast. I wanted to write in to shout about the amazing small business I work for. We're a tiny team of four, with the two founders being parents of three young kids, and we run an aerial circus school for kids and adults in South London. We run term time kids classes, half term workshops, summer camps and family workshops from our London studios, plus lots of adults classes too. Aerial circus skills are an amazing non-competitive way to keep fit and have fun and be creative. Kids will learn aerial skills, hoop, slings and trapeze, plus much more. Our class is from age 7 to 16 for kids and there's absolutely no experience necessary. You should definitely come to one of our family workshops with Lou Rose and the kids. Thank you so much. I know it's South London, but it's nothing to do with me. This isn't...
No, of course. Of course.
I know you look at me and you think, I bet he's on a trapeze every other Thursday. Not for me. Never done it. But yeah. They're on Instagram. It's at Flying Fantastic Youth, www.ffyc.co.uk. So their Insta is at Flying Fantastic Youth. If your kid's interested in circus skills, but yeah, give it a go. That'd be fun.
I'm going to say it. I do apologise that I've just found the shortest one because of my mental state. Hey guys,
shortest one? What, your penis?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, someone's up. That's not a reference to our penis. Hey guys, firstly, love the show.
Secondly, in my head, it's just a foreskin at this point. Sorry.
Yeah, in my pants it is as well. Secondly, can you please give my wife's business a shout out and follow?
So, poor Rose, she's basically the smallest cocked comedian in the country that looks like a young Elton John.
Only for today.
Only for today.
Only for today.
Then it'll go back to averagely small.
She has started I wouldn't go that far. Very, very cool circular economy business model for everything baby item related. From pushchairs to breast pumps, everything is rentable and all housed in beautiful and easy to use app at The Tot Loft. Tot is T-O-T. The Tot Loft is her business and needs all the help and support possible from the parenting community. Cheers. There we go.
Good luck. Rob. Yes.
I look forward to seeing you next time.
See you next time. I'll be back in UK on Terra Firma.
You'll be back in Blighty.
Big up Blighty. Ready for Christmas. Pumped and ready to go.
Great, great, great.
Right. God, hope you feel better, mate.
Cheers. Bye.